Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أمن تذكر جيران بذي سلام ما زدت دم وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ولم تسن
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. Respected listeners, we come to our chapter 3, and yesterday we had commenced, or last week rather, we had commenced this chapter. And this chapter is concerning the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first two stanzas which we've done, ظَلَمْتُ سُنَّةَ مَنْ أَحْيَى الظَّلَامَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُشْتَكَتْ قَدَمَاهُ الدُّرَّمِ وَرَمِي. Allama Busayri rahimullah is teaching us the importance of holding on to the sunnah. And specifically, he spoke of one sunnah, and this sunnah, which is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would pass the night in ibadat to the point that his feet would complain out of injury. Anishtakat qadamahu, his feet would complain out of injury due to being swollen. Anishtakat qadamahu durramu warami, due to being swollen. And this, of course, is referring to the ahadith where Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha had spoken to Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, 2210 ahadith narrated from Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is there and showing her this is how you spend your nights. So when you see something and you witnessed it, now it becomes solidified in your brain, in your heart, and you want to just emulate it. I can tell you something, but when you see me practicing it, when you see me holding on so strongly and firmly to the sunnah, then what does this do? It just injects a whole new level of understanding that this is not just to be told. We can present to you theories after theories that we've learned in their secular books, but practically this has all been lost today. Practically it doesn't hold any weight. You look at your Shakespeare's who told you so many things that you break your head, and they allowed you and wanted you to go through the movies there and watch those movies for hours and hours. We just used to say, we are Muslims, we don't watch TV. So they used to say, okay, you can sit outside. But how many hours and hours didn't you give yourself? If you look at this child of today, how many hours, how many books, how many bags, and how many extra murals? Just because it is told to him that he has to make something out of himself, just because it is told to him, without this, you are not going to make a living. But you see, together with that today, how difficult it becomes, because everyone just went like ostriches with the heads in the grounds and went for one specific cause or two specific focuses, professions, doctors, accountants, and you focused all on that. So what happened? The market is flooded now. And now there is a need, and there's a niche in the market, if you want to call it this, because there is a need to focus on doing things with your hands. And you go see the lives of Anbiya alayhi wasalam and how they would conduct themselves, and you want to speak of professions. But today there is this lack, and it is specifically focused on this. They speak of trade uncertainty. Trade uncertainty. Why? Because Trump comes out and he says that we're going to unleash for 30%, 50% tariffs and the rest. You've seen last week, BMW, 29%. It's showing a loss of 29% BMW during a certain particular period which that survey was conducted. But when you look at the causes of this, they say, no, China is producing cars that are equally in terms of features in that, equally, I wouldn't say maybe quality, but you say features, you say design, all of this Chinese have come out and they've been able to emulate so many things, take AI, take so many things. So they didn't just say, okay, we're going to oppose them and we're not bothered, but we will also give the market a substitute. We'll give the market a substitute. So you can see all these trade uncertainties that are coming out there. So how do you respond to such trade uncertainties? There are various ways, but we're not going to focus on that now, but I'll just share with you one. One is for you to start doing things with your hands. Keep the money within the country. Keep the money. So you go as a purchaser. I've explained this to you previously. It's like I have a shop. And what happens? I want customers. So if my customer, I don't care where I get my customers from, but as long as I'm getting my customers, I'm happy. So what happens is you're getting most of your customers from America. So that's how the export takes place now. A lot of products going to America. That's how the tariffs is really going to affect the country. But how do I contain this? How do I manage this? It is for me now to say, hey, I know this person. They are providing a product, but they are South African. They are in our community. Why don't I go and support that person? Why must I support someone that is out of the country and start supplying them? Whereas if I support this person, he doesn't now have to look and supply to America because I'm becoming his customer now. Can you see the difference? You've seen Mercedes-Benz East London. We've spoken about this. They did a survey. So they took last year, that's 2024, January to June. And they've taken this year, January to June. If you see the sale difference, so that was prior to the tariffs, 16,000 cars were sold. East London Mercedes-Benz selling 16,000, exporting 16,000 cars to the US between January and June. So when you look at this year, January to June, 2,000 and some odd numbers of Mercedes-Benz only. From 16,000 to 2,000, what a major difference. They are thinking and they are considering of closing down even. So you just think now, okay, why don't, I'm just using Mercedes-Benz as an example, but I'm saying that why don't we support one another, especially amongst our communities? There is a Muslim that is selling from their home a particular product. Why can't they go and go there and support those people? What stops me? So that we're keeping the money. That's why you saw the sign always, the slogan, proudly South African. So you keep the money within the societies. You keep the money within your communities. As a country, you keep your money within the country. Or you then start exporting to other countries where the tariffs are low. But keeping the money amongst yourselves. That is what is key. That is why they threw the dollar at you always. That is why they had to have the dollar on your keyboard, because you need to be brainwashed and everything needs to be converted to dollars first so that their cuts come in whichever deals and whichever way is possible. But coming to this now, you've seen different ways, different various. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this beautiful deen. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You speak of trade. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed you, he never abandoned you. You may say, okay, this person is good in this particular field. But to become an all-rounder, where you're going to be successful in every field, that is very rare to find. You'll never find it because there's only one person who was sent as a mercy to the entire universe. Look, time was not stipulated in this verse. Space was not stipulated in this verse. Place was not stipulated in this verse. Race was not stipulated in this verse. Because you can be poor and you have a greater opportunity of emulating the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, when you go and you see these homes, the sizes of it, and then you wonder Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house with Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, then you just know and imagine this was the size. When you would lay down one side to the next, that was the wall size, roof size, head to, and you think to yourself, who stands a better chance? That person who is staying in those homes, they stand a chance of following the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whereas when you spoke of so many celebrities, you spoke of so many rich people, but then, okay, I can't emulate them on this now because they are too advanced and they are too, they've got too much money. I can't drive that car, I can't live that lifestyle, though they've created in every single one of us through this whole machinery of modern technology, your televisions and your phones, your YouTubes and the rest. And they've planted in your brain this mindset that no matter what, I will always look at that lifestyle as the best lifestyle. We need to come out of that and we need to come back to Sunnah. And this is what Allama Abu Sayri Rahimullah is stressing and focusing. And his focus is ideally on one Sunnah. But how many sunnahs aren't we transgressing? That's the question that we need to ask. So, ظَلَمْتُ سُنَّةَ مَنْ أَحْيَى الظَّلَامَ إِلَىٰ أَنِشْتَكَتْ قَدَمَاهُ الدُّرَّ مِيُّ وَرَبِي. So, we said to you the hadith there, and it comes in various narrations of Bukhari, of Muslim, other hadith mubarakah. This hadith, you can find it there as well. When you see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifestyle, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hunger. So we're going to focus on few, and this is a new stanza today. وَشَدَّ مِنْ سَغَبٍ أَحْشَاءَهُ وَطَوَى. And he died and folded on account of hunger around his stomach. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hunger, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sacrifice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dedication for the success of this ummah knows no ends. It just continues and you discover more and more ahadith. And this just leaves you in this awe that such an honorable person came with such a mission that every person till the day of Qiyamah must be saved. Must be saved. He mustn't fall into all of these isms. He must be protected. He must be focused. He must be confident. But what happens to you and I? We tend, our iman drops. Now comes the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because our iman is so low, we do not respond in the manner that we're supposed to be responding. And that is the sunnah method of responding. The sunnah is beautiful. The sunnah is simple. Did not Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Ala tasma'un, are you not listening? Are you not listening? Innal badadata minal iman. Innal badadata minal iman. Surely, simplicity is part of iman. When you look at extravagance and you look at spending, going wild spending like this year, then what does Allah Azawajal say? You would not like it if I called you a brother of shaitan. You would not like it if I called you a brother of Lucifer or Dajjal or any of that sort. But Allah Azawajal, in this particular verse of Surah Al-Isra, and that is, so you got Surah Al-Kahf, that is chapter 18, the chapter before that, chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, where Masjid Al-Aqsa is mentioned in the opening verses. So you turn to the specific verse 27. What does Allah Azawajal say? Innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwan ash-shayateen. Surely, innal mubadhirina, the squanderers, they are the brothers, kanu ikhwan ash-shayateen. They are the brothers of shaitan. So I have to look in my lifestyle. You've got a lot to do in your lifestyle. We've got a lot of work to do, a lot of fixing up to do. It doesn't mean squandering means every crumb on that dastarkhan which is going to waste and being thrown in the dustbin. In the dustbin. Yesterday, we were in the shop. We saw these really small, cute, it's these, you get these brushes. And together with that, you can, it's a hand brush, basically. Not for your hair. Don't get confused. This is a sweeper. Let's say a hand sweeper. And I said, this is beautiful. And my family said, okay, let's purchase this here. We can give it to our kids. When they mess crumbs, you're supposed to lick it off the dastarkhan. But let's at least start with this. That when there is crumbs, you sweep it in there. And you've got a, it comes with a small, cute scoop as well. Small, cute scoop as well. We saw it at Frontline for those who are here around Lanesia and that. So it's there. A small, it's about 8 rands 90. So you put it all in there and we said we'll give each child one so that you mess crumbs. You are not able to lick it off the dastarkhan, which you're supposed to be doing. But then you put it in here and this now you must go and feed it to the birds. You'll go buy bags to feed the birds. Alhamdulillah, very good, excellent. But how much, I have to ask myself, How much am I wasting? Do a self-evaluation. That's where we all get always get back to, because there is intelligence. Al-kaysu man dana nafsa. Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, an intelligent man is one who constantly is checking himself. وَعْمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and he's doing actions for the life that is to come. You're going to be sitting in qabr. You're going to be sitting... Now, look how Allah Azza wa Jal, this thought came to mind yesterday. Al-Baqiyatu Salihat. Al-Baqiyat. This means something that constantly remains. And when you are giving your life, when you say, you know what, wealth, everything. But when I'm giving my life, then Allah Azza wa Jal also makes your own body Baqiyat. It remains. It's forever and ever it remains. Where's the proof and evidence for this? We turn to Quran Sharif, verse 154 of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَا. Do not say about those who are slain in Allah's path, except that they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. But you perceive not, you comprehend not, you understand not. So, your life is preserved when you've given it fully and wholly for the sake and pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Good deeds are stored, al-baqiyatu salihat, it remains with you. But when you give this life for you, ya Allah, then Allah keeps this body remaining forever and ever. You can dig up that qabr, it's intact and the blood is still on that body, it is said at times. Can you understand the value of a martyr? So this year, the sacrifice, this vision of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let's go just step into this and ponder for one, 2 moments. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's up, he's there, and his feet is complaining. His feet is complaining. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not complaining. This is just a way to make you understand. It's not really that the feet, meaning out of pain. This was the concern of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, crying, tearing. And what was the purpose for these cries and these tears? It was out of gratitude. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned that, Ya Rasulullah, it was said to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven, ghafarallahu laka ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar, everything before, after. We know anbiya alayhimus salam are masoob, no sins. But even in era of judgments, mistakes, all of that is all forgiven. All forgiven. What was Habib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response? Afala akuna abdan shakura? Afala akuna abdan shakura? Shall I not become a grateful servant? Out of gratitude, this kind and this level of ibadat was taking place. And we spoke to you last week and we said to you, we are drenched in sins, but still nothing has driven us to this kind of weeping and crying. Where the body is complaining, the body is complaining. Give us an opportunity. No, we spoil this body with, you know, you say he spoiled silly. They spoiled me silly. Means they really, really pampered me. We pamper and spoil this body so much that there's no chance and opportunity to even think of sacrifice. Now you understood the total difference. Going on with this mindset, Allama Busairi rahimullah has mentioned in this particular stanza, وَشَدَّ مِنْ صَغَبٍ أَحْشَاءَهُ وَطَوَى, and he tied and folded. وَشَدَّ وَطَوَى is to fold. You'll see this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and speaks about this. Tawa means to fold, to wrap up. So where is this in the Quran Sharif? We're going to come to that. We're going to speak about all of this here. Let's first speak, وَشَدَّ مِنْ صَغَبٍ. Shadda, shadda yashuddu, this means to tie. So he tied, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tied his stomach. You'll see this verse, it comes. So let's, for those who love Arabic and those who are interested in Arabic, shadda yashuddu, shiddatan is your master. And shadda yashuddu nasara yansuru. So just keep in mind that there. Now if you see the narrations, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to this particular word. You see in the Quran Sharif, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it. Look at Surah Al-Qasas and verse 35. You look at Washtud ala qulubihim, Surah Yunus, that is verse 88. So there it will mean we've put a blockage. We've placed something in their hearts where they can't now perceive. And it is a blocker. They can't fathom. They can't understand. It is totally blocked. So these verses, we're just highlighting to you this word, shadda yashuddu. Shadda yashuddu, and it's mustar. When you speak of the mustar, those who are there will understand it. It means, so basically you get a word, and from this word, other words are made. It is not made from another word, but other words are made from this particular word. Verbs and the rest come from this word. So this here is an example of mustar. So we don't want to get into the details. Otherwise, the general public lose interest and they don't know what we're speaking about then. So but just to highlight here and there, we will mention certain points and certain aspects so that people may understand. And for those who love, we can also just give them a little bit of and a taste of what is to be expected here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you see, just go to verse 35. Just look at this word here quickly. Suratul Qasas, verse 35. Qal, sanashuddu adudaka bi akhika. Allah said, we will make your arm stronger through the help of your brother. And will make you have, wa naj'alu lakuma sultana. And we will make you, We will make you have the upper hand. So fala yasiluna ilaykuma, and they will not reach you. And why? Bi ayatina, because of our signs. Antuma wa manittaba'akum al-ghalibun, you both and those who follow you will be victorious. Who's referring to ya? You're referring to Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam and his brother Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam. Let's use this. And let's understand it in today's world. There is a palace. It is Fir'aun. From Fir'aun's palace, the king of this world and the year after is born and he is grown up in that palace. Who is it? It is Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. When Allah Azza wa Jal wants to use the enemies to grow up the kings of this world and the year after, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to happen. So this was at that particular time where Musa alayhi salam, he made a dua. In this dua, he said, Rabbi inni qataltu minhum nafsan fa akhafu ay yaqtulun. Musa alayhi salam, you know his strength, and he didn't intend, because we already told you that Anbiya alayhi salam are masoom. So he made this dua and he said, my sustainer, I've killed a person from them. It wasn't intentional. I mean, I was asking the students the other day, don't you know the strength of Musa alayhi salam, that even one smack and the person died. Did you ever hear of this? Yeah. So in you, that kind of strength, but when it was turning to Allah, then that kind of repentance too. He said, Rabbi inni qataltu minhum nafsa, my sustainer, I have killed a person from them. فَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ, therefore I fear that they will kill me. This is verse 33, Surah Al-Qasas. And then he makes dua also for his brother. وَأَخِي هَارُونُ وَأَفْسَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا, and my brother Harun is more fluent with his tongue than I am. فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِيَ, and send him, Ya Allah, send him with me. Then he can be of benefit. So send him with me as a helper. Send him as a helper. And I'm afraid, Ya Allah, they will belie me. So to this response, this verse, قال سَنَشُدُّ عَدُدَكَ بِأَخِيكَ, we will make your arm stronger through your brother. We will make your arm stronger through your brother. And will make you have the upper hand. وَنَجْعَلُ لَكُمَا سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يَصِلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا, so they will not reach you because بِآيَاتِنَا, because of our signs. أَنْتُمَا, you two, وَمِنِ اتَّبَعَكُمَ الْغَالِبُونَ, you both and those who follow you will be victorious. You both and those who follow you will be victorious. And then the whole incident carries on there. When Musa alayhi salam came, then they accused and said, this is forged magic and the rest. Now, when we look at this here, sanashuddu, shadda yashuddu, it also means to strengthen. Okay? It also means to strengthen. When you go to Surah Yunus is chapter 10, Surah 10 of the Quran Sharif. And if you go to verse 88, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions an incident here, and that is of Musa alayhi salam. So, but this is in Surah Yunus, chapter 10.
وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ.
Ya Allah, Musa alayhi salam is saying, O our sustainer, إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَتَهُ وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Our sustainer, you have given Pharaoh and his group glamour and riches in the worldly life. So that our sustainer, they mislead. Why? رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّ عَن سَبِيلِكَ. So that they mislead from your path. Our sustainer, رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Oh Allah, obliterate their riches, washtud ala qulubihim, harden. Yeah, you're going to use the word harden. Washtud ala qulubihim, harden their hearts, so that fala yu'minu hatta yarau al-'adhab al-alim, so that they may not come to believe until they witness the painful punishment. This was at the point now there was no hope for them to come on. So this is when Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam had made this dua. And what did Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam say? رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Ya Allah, you have given Fir'aun and his cronies, his group, زِينَةً, glamour, وَأَمْوَالًا, wealth, فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. What does this teach us? The enemies, in this sense, it doesn't mean that they, because they have their wealth and they have all this beauty and you see the jets that have been gifted and the rest to the enemies, the tyrants. You know what we speak of exactly, $400 million jet been given to Trump. By who? By the Arab nations. And then Trump says, okay, we'll take it, but we have to then also, you know, spend money on it as well. So he wants to spend another ₹1 billion on it, $1 billion on it. So there's complaints now. So outwardly it seems like they've got all the riches and all that. But the reality is this is just to make them dive deeper and deeper and deeper till Allah Azawajal grips them. So رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّ عَن سَبِيلِكَ. Oh, our sustainer, they're using it. Why? To mislead from your path. Therefore, رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Ya Allah, you make it such, you obliterate their riches, وَشْتُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, harden their hearts, فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ, so that they don't bring iman until they see the painful punishment. Verse 88, Surah Yunus, chapter number 10 of the Quran Sharif. Beautiful dua to make in this specific time as well. رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْتُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. With all the killing that is on their hands and on their progeny's hands and all that they want to promote, Ya Allah, you obliterate their wealth, harden their hearts so that they do not bring iman. So that they do not bring iman. This was the dua of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. So we are focusing وَشَدَّ مِنْ سَغَبٍ. Sagab, this word sagab, let's focus on this now. It comes also from the same bab for the lovers of Arabic. Sagab. Sagaba yasbughu. Sagaba yasghubu. Sagaba yasghubu. This is the word. Seen, ghain, ba. Sagaba yasghubu. Sagban wa sughuban. And it also comes on the scale of Samia Yasma'u. Sagiba Yasghabu. Sagiba Yasghabu. Sagaban wa Sagabatan. This year, it's a intense, severe level of hunger. Sagbuk Lagna. So this is the word Sagiba and Sagaban from these two babs. Sagaba Yasghubu and Sagiba Yasghubu. Sagiba Yasghabu. Sagiba Yasghabu, that Sami'a Yasma'u. Anyway, it means washadda min sagabin. And he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, died on account of hunger. Died on account of hunger. This word min sagabin is the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had died. Min sagabin. Let's look at the wealth of ahadith. And let us see where does this word come in and relating to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hunger. So when we see the incident of Khandaq, it is Jabir radiallahu anhu, the narration I'm going to mention to you, so you also have reference for the ulama and the rest, Sahih al-Bukhari, and you are looking at Hadith 4101. Hadith 4101. Under there, it's the Book of Expeditions, Kitab al-Maghazi. And here you will find the battle of Khandaq. Jabir radiallahu anhu is saying that, in fact, it is Jabir radiallahu anhu saying, yes, inna yawmal Khandaq. We, on the day of Khandaq, nahfiru, we were digging. On the day of Khandaq, we were digging. Fa'aradat kudyatun shadidatun. And there was, we came across the solid big rock. Fa'aradat kudyatun shadidatun. Faja'u an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached. They all approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqalu hadhihi kudyatun. This year is a solid rock. Aradat fil khandaq. And it is a solid rock. And it is appearing. We came across it. And it appeared across the trench. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Faqal. أنا نازلٌ. He said, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I'm coming. أنا نازلٌ. ثم قام نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم stood وبطنه معصوب بحجر. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up and a stone was tied to his Mubarak belly. A stone was tied to the Mubarak belly of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولبثنا ثلاثة أيام لا نذوق ذواقا. So Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, a stone was tied to his belly. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu are saying, وَلَبِثْنَا, we have not eaten for 3 days. لَا نَذُوقُ, not even tasted anything for 3 days. فَأَخَذَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ مِعْوَلَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a mi'wal. A mi'wal is a spade. He took a spade. Mi'wal. فَضَرَبَ, he knocked it one hard time. فَعَادَ كَثِيبًا. And what happened? فَعَادَ كَثِيبًا أَهْيَلَ أَوْ أَهْيَمَ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck this big solid rock, it became like sand. It became like sand. Now look at this here. Automatically, Jabir radiallahu anhu, he understood the whole situation. And that's where this whole incident builds up then. He went home, Jabir radiallahu anhu went home, and you know the whole incident with Sayyiduna Jabir radiallahu anhu's family. They said that we only have minimal amount of food, and all of this took place there. And the miracle came in upon that particular time. How many people had eaten from that particular meal alone was a whole incident by itself, which we shared with you previously. When you're speaking of the hunger in the previous chapter, which we dealt with the nafs, all of these ahadith fits there. All of these ahadith, it all fits there. How the muhajireen came, the ansar came, and they went in. And even Jabir radiallahu anhu, his wife, his shame, was reprimanded by his wife. Say, wayhaki, ja'a an-nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil muhajireen wal ansar wa man ma'ahum. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, the muhajireen came, the ansar came, and whoever is with him. So now, you can't understand this. This is alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb. This is a miracles from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many people just ate and ate and ate from those meals, from that particular meal, with Jabir radiallahu anhu as the host. And he said, just we only can cater for so many. But this was it. The miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It all came through hunger. It all came through hunger. 3 days they didn't eat. And all of a sudden this. And if you noticed the hadith which we did in Riyadu Salihin, Jabir radiallahu anhu is also the narrator there. And that incident was at the hands of Abu Ubaidah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu the Amir of that particular, it was an expedition to capture a caravan of the Quraysh. And there they saw that big animal, Tud al-Ambar, it's called Ambar. And how many men ate from it? 300 men ate from it. And they say, from the eye socket, 13 men could stand alone in the eye socket. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he lifted up one of the ribs from its ribs and he made a high camel walk through it. That's how, just to make you understand this animal, how big it was. And they were eating from it. For a month, they ate from it. Allah Azza wa Jal. But what was it before? They were so hungry and they were eating dates. They were not even eating dates, they were licking dates. And they used to take leaves and mix it with water just to satiate their hunger. This was the kind of sacrifices Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave. And you saw miracles coming. Why? Why? Because it was all based on this. وَشَدَّ مِنْ صَغَبٍ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died due to hunger. أَحْشَاءَهُ وَطَوَى And account enfolded. Tawa means to fold. And أَحْشَاءَهُ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died and folded on account of hunger. So we're just going to focus on this specific portion here. Let's look at another hadith. So we mentioned to you the point of this hadith here. Where was the reference here? We said to you hadith 4101. And we said to you the specific place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's stomach was tied, and it was tied with something. وَبَطْنُهُ مَعْسُوبٌ بِحَجَرٍ And that something was a stone. 3 days never eat nothing. If you look and you go back and you see the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the levels, you looked at his salah, you looked at so many things, aspects. It wasn't just something that was done haphazardly. No. It was done, and it was done to such an extent, it was done with beauty. That's what it was. Now, if just focusing, we focused on Saghabin. Ahsha'ahu, you'll see this word comes also in many ahadith as well. The root letters, if you're focusing on it. If you see, Thumma hushya bihi jurhu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you looked at the wound, juriha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was in the Battle of Uhud. This was specifically in the Battle of Uhud. Let's look at this hadith quickly so that we understand this word ahsha'ahu. When it comes for different meanings. So here we are speaking of a specific meaning and to go through the specific amount of pain. It was the Battle of Uhud. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured there. We're speaking of the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahal ibn Sa'd As-Sa'idiyyi radiyallahu anhu, he asked, Bi ayyi shay'in duwiya jurhun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was injured, with what medicine was the wound of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, treated with? So فقال ما بقي من الناس أحد أعلم به مني. He replied, there is none left amongst the people who knows it better than Ali radiallahu anhu. كان علي يجيء بالماء في ترسه. He's saying, there is none amongst the people, listen carefully, بأي شيء do we جرح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, with what was Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم treated with when he was wounded. فقال, who is saying this? It is the narrator. Abu Hazim is the narrator. Sahl ibn Sa'd is asking the question. He says that there's no one who knows this better than me. The answer to this here. كان علي يجيء بالماء في ترسه. Ali radiallahu anhu used to bring water in his shield. وكانت يعني فاطمة. And Fatima radiallahu anhu تغسل الدم عن وجهه. Fatima radiallahu anhu used to wash the face, used to wash the blood of his face. وأخذ حصير. Then a mat that was made of palm leaves was burned, and its ash, فأحرق, its ash was inserted in the wound. ثم حشي به جرح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was inserted in the wound of Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم. حشي also means to the pain, the anguish, and this was inserted due to this year. And its ash was inserted in the wound of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this word ahsha, ke, when you look at it, it's also nasara yansuru. Hashwan is the masdar. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hunger is mentioned also in other situations in other ahadith mubarakah as well. There's a lengthy hadith which also speaks about this year, and towards you'll see it is certain places, it's a very extremely lengthy, we won't be able to get through the entire ahadith, but perhaps on one day we should go through it. It is to fill something. You'll find it here as well. I'll give you the reference, hadith 7517. 7517, hadith of Bukhari. You can find it there. 7517. Around Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's stomach, you would say a stone was tied. Comes now, why was it called Ahsha? Ahsha. It was called Ahsha because you are filling, when you're pushing something inside, there we spoke of pushing inside the wound, the ashes was pushed inside the wound to stop it from bleeding. Ahsha isliye kehte hai ke ye kaane waghaira se bari rehti hai. So it, when you put a stone, because why would they tie a stone to the stomach? Because it would keep the stomach, filled. The stone would allow the stomach to be filled, and this was the sacrifices, not really filled, as in satiated from hunger, but at least it would assist that hunger situation. Thus, I ask you, I ask myself, did we ever practice upon the sunnah to tie a stone upon the stomach? Did we ever practice the sunnah? So, أحشاءه وشد من صغب أحشاءه وطوى. طوى, this year you can find it, it's in the Quran Sharif. So we turn to Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is in Surah Al-Anbiya, that on that day it is to fold. We will wrap up the skies. We will wrap up the skies. And this all mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya. Surah Al-Anbiya is chapter 21. And if you're looking at the verse, it is verse 104. يَوْمَ نَطْوِي السَّمَاءَ كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ. Today, when we roll up the sky like a scroll rolls up the writings, you know, when you make those scrolls, that is how Allah is going to roll up the sky. So, watawa means to fold. وَشَدَّ مِنْ سَغَبٍ أَحْشَاءَهُ وَطَوَى. And he tied and folded on account of hunger around his stomach. Shadda, to tie. Min, the reason. Sagabin, hunger. Ahsha'ahu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's stomach. Wa tawa. And tawa is to fold. Wa shadda min sagabin ahsha'ahu wa tawa. And he tied and folded on account of hunger around his stomach. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.